glorify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our midst. And Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you that you have a plan and purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. And Father God, we thank you that tonight as we go to study your word, we thank you that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Father, we thank you that most of all that we'll take the word that we hear and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and a dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival of this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival of this generation. We thank you for revival of this city. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you. We always come in your strength and your power and your ability, not in our strength and power and ability. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father, we thank you most of all for that anointing that's here tonight, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that just comes in and makes everything okay. We thank you, Father, and we stir up that anointing tonight, and we thank you that it's ever present with us. Whether we feel it or not, the anointing is always here. And Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they're heading overseas. We thank you for the traveling mercies. We claim the 91st Psalm over them. But most of all, we thank you in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. Just great things that are taking place. And Father God, we thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. And it's so awesome. I know, you know, to be able to travel like my parents are doing this, you know, this week or the next few weeks. Now, sometimes it's a little tiring, but, you know, it's just awesome to see how God moves all around the world. You know, sometimes we get stuck in our little place and wonder, you know, what's God doing? But it's just awesome to hear testimonies how people you've never seen, you never met. I don't know how many times I've you know, people come and they thank me. They don't thank me for doing anything. I didn't do anything. They thank me for my grandfather writing a book, you know, or recording a tape or whatever, and said, if it wasn't for your grandfather, you know, I probably wouldn't even be here. Our family probably wouldn't be here. It's just so awesome to see what God's doing around the world. Well, for me, this week has kind of been a week of reflection. Some of you know that my youngest son graduated from high school, so he graduated this week, and actually today at the Church of Broken Arrow, we actually had Senior Sunday, so we honored all our Rhema graduates. All our high school graduates that went to the church. And we gave them all a legacy Bible, too. So my parents, you know, said, you know, they've been doing this since 1985. We started the church, or I guess 86 was the first year of graduation. And they said, well, at least we know that every person that graduated from here, you know, high school from this church has a Bible. Whether they read it or not, that's something else. But if you haven't seen our legacy Bible, it's really nice. I'm actually very impressed, and I'm wanting to help put the thing together. And it took years to find. I will say we've been working for years to find the right Bible and the right thing. And so it's just, you know, kind of, it's awesome to see these kids. I mean, here they are graduating, you know, I mean, you know, just freshly out going to the world. And I mean, some of them have their whole life planned. I mean, they're already, you know, it's boom, boom, boom. And some of them are like, well, we're praying about it. We'll get back to you, let you know what we're going to do later on in life. So some of them are, you know, still trying to figure out what's going on. But of course, obviously, we had a Rainbow College graduation on Friday night, and then other college graduations. So you know, people are launching out into the world to fulfill their plan and purpose. You know, so I was just kind of reflecting on whenever I was their age to graduate from high school. And I mean, I already knew I was going to college, so really, it wasn't until I got to college it kind of became, you know, my next stage in life. But it also, it happens to be my anniversary tonight, or today. And so, you know, yeah, so it's, you know, I'm here now. Many of you know my story. I mean, you know, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. And my story is, you know, well, I've been married. This is our 12th anniversary, obviously. My kids are older than 12, so obviously I was remarried. You know, sometimes whenever, you know, I found myself a father of three, single father of three, and you know, I'm a little discouraged in a lot of things, and it's just so awesome to meet a lovely young lady. Actually, I my wife and I, we've known each other since high school, but we hadn't seen each other in like 13 years until we saw each other again. So it's just nice. And of course, many of you also know that together we have 7 children, 6 boys, 1 girl. She has 4 and I have 3. And so, and this is our youngest graduating. That's okay. We're raising our granddaughter, so she's home. So it never ends. And so some people said, yeah, we really love grandchildren, because then you can spoil them and send them home. I said, well, I can't. I spoil them and keep them. So it's like, but I was just reflecting on sometimes, whenever you get to a stage in life, like graduate from high school, college, or whatever, and you have it all planned out. You have this plan that you're going to do, and next thing you know, you have twists and turns, and you end up, where am I? What's going on? You get discouraged and you're thinking, well, God, do you care about me? Do you love me? Do you have a plan or a purpose? And I'm just thinking in my own, I was reflecting, the way I felt the previous couple of years before I got remarried and the way I felt after I've got, it just totally, it's just so much better to live life and to share life with a partner, with someone who cares. But sometimes we feel like we're by ourselves and nobody cares, but God always does care. And he's always there for us. And I'm going to read from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 31. And many of you know this scripture. And of course, many of you know things we talk about anyway. But it's good to be reminded sometimes. Sometimes we know so much about the Bible that we forget. I'm not saying we're a know-it-all. I mean, some of you might be know-it-alls, I understand. But a lot of times, some of us, I know many of you have been in church for a long time, And so sometimes we forget how good God really is. And that's why we need to take time, such as like for me, it was my anniversary to reflect, how good God is. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my family, but it hasn't been easy to blend a family together, especially when you have 7 people. The thing about it is, whenever I got married, all my kids had their own rooms in the house. After they got married, then they all shared. The first thing I said, well, first of all, I just want to tell you the story. Many of you probably don't, I've never probably told this story, is that when my wife and I, we met each, saw each other again, hadn't seen each other in years, and just kind of ran into each other. Turned out that I was divorced, she was divorced. She had 3 boys and a girl, and I had 3 boys. And here's what I told her. I said, I haven't seen you forever. I'd love to take you out for dinner. I said, I eat dinner by myself all the time anyway. But I don't want to, you get the wrong impression. I mean, I'm not even going to think about it. You have 4 kids. I have 3. There's no way to even think about we would ever get together. So I want to go to dinner just as friends. I don't want to, I don't want you to ever think that anything more than a friendship thing. So I want to be up front because, you got to be up front sometimes and, be honest. And so that was almost 13 years ago. And, but it is interesting. I mean, basically, if your kid could do something, one of our kids has done it. I mean, and things have not been easy even since we've got married. I mean, this different things, you all know what's going on. I got a son in prison right now. I mean, never thought in a million years, a lot of times we have things planned out how things are going to go. But things don't always happen the way you think they're going to go. And sometimes we think, well, God doesn't care. But he does care. And he's with us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8 says this. New King James, what I'm reading from. It says, And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now notice it says, and the Lord, he is the one that goes before you. So, before you ever got in that situation, the Lord was there. Yes. Making provisions for you. So once you got there, he's going to help get you out. Yes. Because sometimes we think, I've been there, we've all been there where something happens, and it seemed like a surprise to you. You didn't think it was going to happen. And it's kind of the way, it just seems that all of a sudden, sometimes we go through stages in life that things, everything's going great. And all of a sudden, boom, you get slapped across the face. And you're like, what happened? You know, sometimes, you know, you feel like a, you know, guy in a boxing match that's got punched out, and you're at the standing eight count, you know, where you're like wobbly and stuff like that, you know. But you know what? God wasn't surprised. Maybe it surprised you, but God wasn't surprised. Now, maybe you're surprised because you already, you know, at 18, you already had planned out, you know, your 10-year plan, your 5-year plan, your 20-year plan, you know, and, you know, by the time you're 65, what you're going to do, you've already picked out the, you know, the new mobile home spaceship, you know, because for us, it would, you know, still a mobile home, but, you know, these 18-year-old kids, I mean, they probably already planned out that, you know, by the time they're 65, they're going to travel the planets in some kind of mobile spaceship thing, and I don't know, I'm just making it up, you know. He said, well, that'll never happen. Well, think of the things whenever you were a kid you saw on TV and the movies thought would never happen. You never thought that you would have, I mean, you know, when I was a kid, the technology in this phone would fill this whole room. I mean, you know, now you carry it around. You know, I mean, you know, you got your phone, you got your computer, you got your internet device, and you got your selfie, you know, machine or whatever you have. And I mean, you know, we're attached to our phones. And you're thinking, you know, what did you do without phones? Maybe live life. I don't know. That was another thing. Kids don't talk anymore. They text. You know, but then now adults text too, so I can't really say a whole lot of text more than I talk sometimes too. Probably good because I'll talk to you forever, so texting's a lot faster. But you know what? God's always going before us. He's always preparing the way. You know, and it seems that, you know, sometimes it seems tough, and it seems like, well, this was a shock, but it didn't shock God. All right. And he says he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to leave you by yourself. Now, I know you might be sitting there singing all by myself and thinking, you know, having your pity party, but you're not by yourself. Now, maybe you feel by yourself and maybe you don't feel you have anyone. I mean, I do thank God for good parents that were been with me during the thick and the thin, you know, whenever, you know, needed some encouragement, you know, and it's good to have. But sometimes you don't even have that. I mean, you know, I talk to people and find out, you know, especially people that have families and things happen or whatever. And I mean, it's just them and their kids. And they're trying to figure out what's to do. What am I going to do now? I mean, you know, some of them, you know, they've lost family. Some of them, they've lost houses. Some of them, what do I do? You know what? But God is with you. He's with you. But, you know, it says right here, it says, do not fear nor be dismayed. Now, one of the biggest things that we do when we get in situations, the first thing we start doing is fearing. Now, most of you are old, you know, I wasn't alive during that time, but you've seen the speech, you know, where our great president said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I mean, a lot of times, you know, and it's interesting, being a Christian, remembering calling things, you know, that be not as though they are, a lot of times we call things to existence by our fear. We're afraid what's going to happen. And we call it to existence. You know, but one thing you have to do is not be afraid. And how can you be afraid if you know that God is with you? Amen. You're not by yourself. You know, I don't care what kind of pity party you're having. Now, let's read this from the New Living Translation. Let's kind of get a modern look at what it says. You know, it says this. It says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. And I think they put the word personally so you understand, you know, this is not just generic Lord. This is personal Lord. You know, and sometimes, and I'm going to use a bad illustration that probably no one should ever use, but I do that kind of stuff. Let's use Santa Claus for an illustration. And just because he's your Santa Claus, he's everyone's Santa Claus, and you don't make it your personal Santa Claus. You know, it's just... And we kind of put the Lord in that same situation, but he's our personal father.
Amen.
He's not Santa Claus. Amen. Not some jolly old man in a red suit that wants to bring you gifts or whatever. You know, we have our heavenly father that's already given us good gifts. And not only that, he gave us the ultimate gift and through his own son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, and so sometimes we don't realize that he's our personal God. You know, and it's hard because, you know, I understand we'll say father or whatever, but and sometimes maybe I didn't figure this out because I'm not that smart, but me and my parents have always had a good relationship. Me and my dad's always been really close. We're tight. We do things together. And, you know, me and my grandfather. So I always saw that as a good thing. But I have friends and who some of them didn't even really know who their family is or who the father was. Some of them, you know, their actually father didn't raise them. They had a stepfather or whatever that basically was their father. You know, and so sometimes because of the relationship with their father, they kind of see God the same way. But I don't care whether your father was the meanest man ever to walk the face of the earth. Your heavenly father loves you.
Amen.
And he wants to see nothing but good. And you know, and he's going before you, and he's personally there with you, helping you get into any situation, even things that shock the fire out of you. He's there with you. You know, and it's so important to see, he's my personal father. Not a generic father, because I think sometimes, like I said, you know, I use the word Santa Claus, but, you know, Santa Claus is everyone's Santa Claus. And I understand God is everyone's God, but he's also your personal father. You know, and I can relate a little better because, especially with my grandfather, a lot of people, you know, they call my grandfather their spiritual father. So in fact, a lot of Rainbow grads actually called him dad. No, he was my grandfather, not my dad. But you know, but they had a closeness to him. You know, but you know, there's a difference between me and him because we were personally related. All right, you know, they love him and I love him too. But you know, and same with my father. But I mean, this is your personal father. Now, here's the other side about it is, you know, with my dad and my grandfather, I was always, you know, I didn't have trouble sharing with them what was going on in my life, and so they can be with me and help me or whatever. And that's what your father wants you, your heavenly father wants you to do too. But he's always there. He's always available. You know, many people used to say, well, I wish I lived during Jesus' times. Well, I don't. Number one, I don't like to do a lot of walking. It's pretty obvious. The other side about it is, you know, these people had to find Jesus to get healed. We don't have to find, he's already found us. All we have to do is call upon his name. We don't have to find anybody. I mean, how much easier do we have it? We don't have to go looking for our father. We don't have to go looking, you know, I mean, you know, it's already, and actually, we don't have to do anything. It already belongs to us. We just call and ask and just thank him for it. So it says, you know, he will, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Now, here's the thing. If you know something cannot fail, why would you be afraid about it? I mean, you know, I obviously, not everyone here just wants to just jump off a bridge with the bungee tacks to their leg, you know, because what if the bungee failed? Now, the more you weigh, the more you think about it. I went bungee jumping one time, and you know, not off a bridge, by the way. I was a little bit lighter at the time, but I still was a big boy. One of the biggest things that I really asked before I, you know, threw myself 150 feet or however high we were up in the air was, that thing's going to hold me, right? And they were, you know, telling me how they, you know, all the things they had to go through and all the stuff, and they triple check it and all that kind of stuff. I said, I want to make sure because, you know, I don't want anything to happen, you know. But so I did it, got the T-shirt. That's what I actually got the T-shirt. It said, you know, I bungee jumped, got the T-shirt. But you know, I had confidence that the bungee wasn't going to fail. Now, sometimes I wonder, do we have confidence that our Lord's not going to fail? Because if we have confidence, why do we have fear? You know, and one of the biggest fears that we have is fear of failure. You know, that's why a lot of people don't like to speak in public because they have fear that they're going to fail speaking in public. You know, or a lot of people, you know, that I've seen a lot of guys that would be great businessmen, but they're always afraid to go out on their own because they're afraid if they did it on their own, they're going to fail. You know, but like I said, if we know, I mean, it says he will neither fail you nor abandon you. First of all, he's not going to run away from you. You understand that God is not going to leave you in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Now, you might have some friends that might do that, you know, or whatever. I mean, you, And we've had friends left us high and dry. And it seems a lot of times, you know, when everything's falling apart in your life, sometimes your friends fall apart too. Like they don't want to be with you anymore because it makes them look bad. I mean, they were so bad, they actually defriended you on Facebook because they didn't want you to be associated with you anymore. You know, and you don't think it happens, you try going through a divorce, it happens, I guarantee you. You know, people will leave. People will judge. But God never judges, and he never leaves. He's always for you, never against you. You know, in fact, you know, it tells us, you know, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He loves us no matter what we ever do. Nothing means no thing. So there's no thing that can ever separate you from the love of God. He loves you no matter how bad you mess up. No matter what you've done in life. Doesn't matter if it's your fault or not. He still loves you. And he still cares about you. And he still wants to get you through. And he's still trying to lead you and guide you. You know, and the thing about it is, we're afraid that he doesn't. That's the biggest thing. You know, the devil's a liar. And he'll tell us, you know what? Basically, what he says is he tries to reason with you. Now, you can't reason. You can't think. I mean, God's mind is so much bigger than yours. I mean, you just can't think like he can think. You know, and the Bible tells us, you know, we see through a glass darkly. Like we only see a little bit. We don't know. I mean, many times I've been asked some spiritual questions that I can't answer. You know, and I always say this. I said, I don't know the real answer for this spiritual question. But I don't see the whole picture either. And, you know, for you to make a, you know, I know people, you know, they're blaming God or, you know, or whatever. He said, you know, if we were in a court case, you know, you would want to see the whole picture, all the evidence and everything. Once you saw the whole picture, it might make sense. But see, with God, we only see part of the picture. You know, understand, God's the judge. He sees the whole picture. You don't see the whole picture. And you're trying to look at it, you know, through your sight, and you're thinking, well, this doesn't seem fair, doesn't seem right or whatever. I mean, how come? I mean, I've been asked all kinds of, well, how come this happened? Or how? Why would God let this happen? Or God let that happen? You know, and, you know, sometimes I don't have an answer. But I know that my God does love us. I know he's not here to harm us, but there to do good. But I do know that God never fails. Amen. And if God never fails, why should I fear? Because, you know, the reason I'm afraid is I'm afraid that God's going to fail me. But how can God fail me? He can't fail. Now, what happens is we have the devil who's a liar, and the problem is that we believe liars. You know, and many of you have a habit. You not only believe the devil's a liar, you believe other people who are liars too. So that's the thing. I didn't say lawyer. I said liar. Okay. Want to make sure I enunciate. Some people thought the same thing, but you know, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, you know, there's some good lawyers in the world. There's also some good liars in the world too. But you know, God will never fail you nor abandon you. And those are two things that the devil tries to tell us he's going to do, especially when everything's going bad. You know, and the thing about it is if you quit listening to the devil, you'll be a whole lot better. Amen. Now, I'm, you know, none of us intentionally try, you know, none of us woke up this morning and said, you know what, I'm listening to the devil all day long today. That's what I'm going to do. You know, no, we don't do that, but we do, you know, because what happens is he gets us off our game. You know, I always kind of attribute to, you know, a lot of the way our modern day sports players play. They like to talk smack to each other. You know, and some people have fun to talk smack, and like, it means no big deal. And some people, they get so mad. I mean, they can't even perform because this guy keeps saying, you know, stuff. And that's what the devil does. He's just talking. He can't really back up what he's saying. He's just talking. Just a bunch of noise. You know, you gotta hit the mute button sometimes. Now, here's the thing, is that the devil's not the devil uses other people, and I'm not saying that this person, you know, it just, he uses situations, circumstances to make it seem worse than it really is. I mean, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're already upset, and you think something, and then you see someone's Facebook status, and they're talking about me. They probably weren't talking about you. But the devil tries to tell you they're talking about you.
That's right.
And you get offended. I don't know how many times, as ministers, you know, I mean, we've even had people, you know, they're all huffy and puffy because, well, we went out for counseling 2 weeks ago, and you came and you preached, you know, 2 weeks later, and you were talking about us in church. No, we weren't. We're talking about you. You know, that's just the devil. It's a lot of times that, and this actually happens sometimes. This is a scenario. Let's say that, now, guys don't care about clothes as much as girls do. It's just kind of thing. That's why the guys have like 3 shirts and girls have, 48,000 dresses in their closet. So, I've actually heard some ladies talking about someone else's clothing. They were actually talking about how nice it was. This person didn't hear him. They just saw him whispering, looking or whatever. They got offended because they were talking about how bad it looked or how old it looked or whatever. In fact, it's interesting amount of times, the number of times that I've actually even complimented my wife on her hair before. And she goes, "I was having a bad hair day." So you're just saying that, right? I mean, I said, no, this person, someone else was saying the same thing, because I didn't even really get it curled or get it, I was running late or whatever, just kind of blew it out. And she goes, "No, you guys are just lying." So she's, we're actually not lying. We're telling the truth. But she didn't believe us because she felt she was having a bad hair day. And that's something, remember, we always talk about not being moved by what we feel. And we shouldn't be moved on emotions sometimes. Sometimes people say, and so here's what I do. I make excuses for people. Now, even if they're talking about me or not talking about me, I just pretend they're not. Right. There you go. Even if they are. Because, if they're talking about me, then that's their issue anyway. And for me to get mad about it, is this going to make me mad? And no one's going to win. But the other side about it is, why get offended? Life is too short for that. And the other side about it is, as I always think about, I'm probably one of the few people that actually really think about WWJD. What would Jesus do? I really think about a lot, in situations where I really want to get mad. And I always, my good friend Todd White, he always says, you can't give, if you have the mind of Christ, you give people, a piece of your mind, that's a piece of the mind of Christ, right? The only way you can give someone a piece of your mind is when you're on your own mind. So get out of your mind and into his. Amen. Put your thoughts under. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Saith the Lord. So I think like Jesus thinks. WWG, how would Jesus think? What would he do? Well, every time, when Jesus would always love people, even when, when we think they maybe deserve to be judged, Jesus still loved them.
That's right.
So he was using that as an example for us to love people, even when we feel like maybe we shouldn't love them, But the other side about it is, if you were that person, you'd want to be loved. That's right. That's where it comes to treating people like, not like they treat you, but like you'd want to be treated. And I know that those are all, things you learn in children's church, but sometimes we forget. I get it. It's easy to get offended. You read things, especially now with online stuff, because people write things online that, that they probably wouldn't have said to you in person, or I send you a text. Now, I always point out the text. Sometimes texts don't really show emotion. I don't care how many emojicons they use, it's a little better, I guess, with some of the emojicons, but then, I use example whenever I said fine, thinking okay, but my wife took fine like I was mad about her doing it. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. I'm like, I said fine, which got me in more trouble. Then I tried to call her. She wouldn't answer the phone. I'm like, I said it was okay to do it, but she read fine instead of okay, so now I always say okay. And then it's like, well, you're not saying a lot. You just said okay. Don't you care? You can't win sometimes. But you know what? You're not going to fail if God is with you. Now, in the New Testament, we kind of have the same scripture over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13 kind of says it this way. Hebrews 13, I'm going to start with verse 5, and I'm going to go ahead and start just for time's sake. It says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content for such things as you have, for he himself has says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What I will not fear what man what can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, those whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, it's interesting, you know, when every time you've gone through a situation, you know, I think about, you know what, if I went through that situation before, he's going to get me through this one again. But when you think about yesterday, today, and forever, when I think yesterday is not just my yesterday. Yesterday was from the history of time. And that's when you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's when you think about Daniel the lion's den. You know, and they got themselves in some pretty bad situations. You know, but God was with them. And, and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, the fourth man was in the fire with them. You know, and sometimes that's the thing is we don't see the fourth man. We don't see Jesus, but he's always there. Amen. You're never by yourself. You're never home alone. Now, many of you saw the movie Home Alone. Everyone's seen the movie Home Alone. Now, you know, they did not intentionally leave him home by himself. You know, they just had too many kids. And it's easy to do. The more kids you have, the easier it is. And, you know, especially if you don't count off or whatever. You know, but, you know, reading the, you know, Deuteronomy, you know, when we end up, when we feel like we're home by ourselves, you know, God's still with us. He went before us. He didn't leave us home alone. You're never home alone. You're never by yourself. Now, it's interesting because you would think that this young kid left by himself when his parents are on vacation or his family's on vacation would kind of be afraid. But he wasn't afraid of anything. In fact, you know, he always had a plan to defeat, you know, his enemies that came to his home. And that's the thing. You need to have your plan. Your plan is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's always there. You have his name. I mean, you know, you don't have to go looking for a plan or searching for a plan. In fact, that's the problem. You know, the problem is that your plan didn't work. Now it's time to just let go and let God. You know, and the thing is, you don't have to plan out stuff. He's there with you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. You know, and he wants you to fulfill that plan. You're never home alone, even when you feel like it. And I know we've all gone through situations and we're like, man, God, how'd this happen? And, you know, I mean, how'd I get here? But you know what? He's always with you. Quit being afraid. I mean, you know, that's the biggest thing. When we get to a situation, we start getting afraid. And we're afraid, well, what's going to happen next? You think about in life, will I ever be happy again? I mean, I've sat there in my bed thinking, am I ever going to be happy again? You know, the devil can tell you, you're never going to be happy. It's never going to be the same. I mean, you know, everyone's behind, you know, against you and everything else. I mean, you know, I mean, man, he'll give you opportunity. You know, and sometimes, you know, I get it. I mean, you know, the people who don't know God, I understand why they try to turn to drugs and alcohol and sometimes even take their own life. Because they can't put up with the situation. They don't have any hope. But praise God that we have someone who cares about us. Someone who doesn't leave us nor forsake us. It doesn't matter how bad it is. You know, he says he's there to stick closer than a brother. I mean, this is your personal God. This is your personal Jesus. You know, and the thing about it is that he'll do it over and over and over again. The same God today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. Forever. Forever is a long time. I mean, every time, you know, because here's the deal. In life, things are going to happen that you didn't think were going to happen. Maybe they didn't surprise God, but they surprised you. But you know what? Your God is still with you. You know, I don't know how many times I said, you know, God didn't take me this far to dump me out on the curb. You know, I've gone through different situations and, you know, in life. And sometimes, you know, sometimes the reason we're going through things is we just put up with it. The devil's over there trying to maul us and we're just not doing anything but think about it. You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Meaning if you don't resist him, he's not going to flee. That's right. Many people wonder, well, how come the devil keeps bothering me? Well, because you don't resist him. Well, what's resist means? It means come against. That's right. Now, I'm probably weird. I talk to the devil a lot. I just tell him, you know, that he has no right, he has no authority in the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible says, in the name of Jesus. You know, and I've often, well, usually what happened, I get to the point, you know, said, you know what? Jesus didn't die on the cross for me to have to go through this situation.
Amen.
For me to be having a pity party, for me to be depressed, for me to be hurting. But he died on the cross. You know, in fact, one of my favorite scriptures, John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. He's saying he wants us to have abundant life, and he's provided for that. But we can make the choice not to live an abundant life by letting fear come in, by letting worry come in. I mean, you know, I know my grandfather, he used to say that more people are in the insane asylum from worry than any other thing. You know, but and that's translated to you realize, and I've done a service on it here before, you know, the statistics about the number of people, even kids now, that are on antidepressants is staggering because they can't deal with the worry.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that medication can't help, all right? Because I do believe that you know, God helps us understand it. But you know what? The thing is, at some point in time, you've got to realize that your God is with you.
Amen.
You know, and I'm just talking to my stepdaughter the other day, going through a situation. I said, you know, and she was concerned about some stuff, and I said, but you know, start praying in tongues, ask the Lord to help you.
That's right.
You know, if people would be as dependent upon medication as, you know, dependent upon God as they are on medication, sometimes we would, you know, they would go a whole lot further. Because remember, God's not going to fail us.
Amen.
He can't fail us. Our God cannot and will not fail.
Amen.
You know, and so, you know, they also say that one of the biggest things that people worry about, you know, biggest things that we worry about never happen.
That's right.
And that's the thing. You know, you're worrying about something that can never happen when it comes to God. Now, the only way to fail is for you to fail. God cannot fail. So you realize, you know, it's basically, if God cannot fail, the only way that situation is going to fail is because I fail myself. So quit being a failure. Well, how do I do that? Trust in God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.
Amen.
Put your trust in him.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to leave you with Isaiah. I brought it up before. I talked about it before. Isaiah 54:17. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is from me, says the Lord. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
So what's going to happen is you're going to have weapons formed against you at some point in time. The Bible never promised you that no weapon would never be formed against you. You have a lot of things that come against you that you thought would never happen, but the Bible does promise that they won't prosper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he says that you know, actually, you know what? I said, let's read the New Living Translation of that version of that. It says, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. It says, you will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. And it's pretty cool. It says these benefits are enjoyed. This is one of the benefits of being a Christian.
Right.
You know, things have benefits. You know, maybe your job has benefits, like you get some vacation time, you know. Maybe you got some profit sharing stuff or maybe some stock or whatever. Well, one of the benefits of the service of the Lord is he's going to come against your accusers.
Right.
And it says the vindication will come from the Lord, not from you. You don't have to vindicate. You don't have to eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He's going to vindicate it. But what, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, I've determined in life, I'm not going to get surprised. You know, because God's not surprised. You know, and I guess in youth ministry, too, it was interesting when I'm doing youth ministry and talking to young adults. You know, it got to a point where nothing ever surprised me. I heard it all. I mean, from kids being immaculately conceived, you know, I mean, you got a girl, and you know, well, who's the father? Jesus. I'm being serious here. This is, you know, then I got one kid that told me they're addicted to sex, and right in front of their mom, said, you know, some people are, you know, addicted to drugs and alcohol. I'm addicted to sex. I mean, nothing surprises you when you're, you know, youth minister. But you know, I've got to a point in life that nothing surprises me on anything. You know, you thought that could never happen to you. I've had so many things I thought could never happen, but you know what? It was because I was thinking. You know, the devil's a mean guy. Says he has to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And here's the deal. If he can't attack you, he'll attack your kids. He'll attack your wife. He'll attack your job. He'll attack your house. He'll attack your dogs, your cats, or whatever pets you have. You know, whatever. I mean, your car. You know, every time you get a new one, transmission goes out. I'm joking, hopefully. You know, get another. You better. Maybe you actually buy a real new car if your fanny keeps going out every time you buy a new one. That might be a problem from one of our. But I mean, you know, it just seems that the devil's on the attack. But one reason, because you know, time is short. Time is short, and he is on the attack. Because we were told that 2,000 years ago, Jesus himself told us, the devil is going to try to attack you. He's going to try to throw weapons at you. He's going to try to throw things at you. I mean, situations that you think that you can never overcome. But you know what? We've already overcame.
Amen.
God's with us.
Right.
Jesus is with us. I mean, when you have God and Jesus on your team, who else do you need? I mean, you don't need any other superstars. I mean, you have it all. I mean, you know, says he'll never leave you, never forsake you. He cannot fail. So quit worrying. You know, but here's the thing. You know, you hear messages like this and everyone's like, oh, that's awesome, that's awesome. I don't care about right now. I want you to remember this whenever you're going through your worst day ever. I want you to remember this whenever you go to work and then all of a sudden you come home from work and you're having a great day, which maybe for you might not be normal. And you know, you get home and your kid slaps you across the face with some kind of bad news, or you know, the banker gives you some bad news, or your wife gives you some bad news, you know, and you feel like you're all by yourself, or you feel like, I can't believe this is happening, or, you know, that's when I want you to remember this. Because a lot of times, you know, what happens is we hear great messages and we forget it when we need it. We only, it's great because, you know, it's time, yeah, that'll be great, you know, to store up in my memory banks or whatever. But, you know, you gotta remember this when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But the thing is, when times get tough, we got to remember what God said. We got to remember these verses. You know, and that's one reason that we need to read the word, because my grandfather said the number one reason, well, you know, why people do not get healed or not getting their needs met is because they don't know the word. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We have to know the word. But it's important to have the word in us, so when we have situations that we know what to do. Because, see, when Jesus was tempted, all he did was bring the word out. So you have to know where it's written. And you know, and you have to know that it's more than just a verse. You have to know on the inside, because you know, I mean, you know, there's models in life people have, and there's people who actually live a motto. You know, maybe there's your favorite sayings or whatever, but do you really live that saying? I mean, you know, my dad, his saying is, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. That's his motto in life, and that's the way he lives. He's not going to be defeated. And the reason he knows he can't be defeated, because he knows that God is always with him.
Amen.
And if God's always with you, you cannot be defeated. So my dad understands that the only thing that's going to stop him is when he quits. You know, quitters never win, winners never quit. You know, if you don't quit, you will make it.
That's right.
You know, and I get it. I mean, there are going to be times in life where you shed some tears. Some things happen, some things surprise you, and you wind up and you were in a time, in a place that you thought you would never be. I mean, I've been there too many times in my life. I mean, you know, I haven't hit 50 yet. I'll be 49 this year. You know, and I've gone through a lot in my short age, very short. You know, plan to be here for quite a little longer, and have my, you know, grandkids, great-grandkids. great-great-grandkids, and as long as the Lord tarries is coming, you know, I'll be here as long as I want to be.
That's right.
And that's the thing, you need to determine right now that you're going to be here as long as you want to be. Now, my grandfather said, that's how he always said, I'm going to be around as long as I want to be. Now, at some point in time I don't want to be, then that's okay too. Because heaven is far better. I get that. I want to be here with my kids. I want to be here with my family. I want to be here, I want to watch my, like I said, just watch my youngest son go graduate from high school. It's just awesome to see your kids, grow up and go through different experiences in life. And sometimes some experiences aren't so awesome, but you know what? It's so awesome to see that they know how to, they've been taught right. And, my son, he's in jail right now, but it's just so amazing to see, the way he talks and how positive he really is. When it could be really easy to be negative, but instead of being negative, he always thinks some positive things. He looks at other people and said, "Well, at least I didn't mess up that bad as these people did." He knows this is temporary, and that's the thing. Sometimes we need to understand that the things we're going through are just temporary. You had a temporary setback. You sprained your knee. It wasn't good. People weren't happy. Maybe you were at fault. And sometimes that's the biggest thing. Sometimes the person we can't forgive is our own self. And because we don't forgive our own self, then we think, first of all, we think no one else is going to forgive us, but because look what I've done. It's not about what you've done. It's about what you can do. It's not about your past. It's about your future. And I think about this. One of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth, one of the guys who wrote many scriptures that you quote on a daily basis, the Apostle Paul. Think about this. If he always lived in the past, there's so many things that we would have never read. There's scriptures that I read every day, that I quote every day, that this man penned, that if he would have looked to his past, it might have never happened.
Right.
Now I just have to assume that God would have used somebody else. But it's just an awesome thing to think about how someone can change. And that's why I read over Philippians chapter 3, it says, I press toward the mark. The future, it's not about what's behind me. Looking, forgetting the things that are behind me, I press toward the mark. And sometimes maybe that's what happens. We need to, sometimes we have a hiccup. We skin our knee or whatever. Maybe more the hiccup, I understand. I'm giving a proverbial expression. Something happens. But move beyond it. You think about just things in the business world. Walt Disney filed bankruptcy 7 times. Think about that. If he would have quit, we never had Mickey Mouse. And I know it really sounds really weird, but you don't realize how much Mickey Mouse influences your life. I'm not saying that you live your life by Disney time or whatever, but just toys you've seen, shows you've seen, things that, just different stuff. And just things that his imagination has created that other people have taken that and expanded on that. Maybe we have cartoons and movies and a lot of stuff, started because one guy didn't quit. When he had plenty of opportunities to quit, but he didn't. I often thought about it, what if you quit? The amount of people that I've thought about in life, the amount of people that, think about my own grandfather's situation. What if he would have died at 17? I know I wouldn't have been here. But a lot of people who come and tell me, if it wasn't for your grandfather, I probably wouldn't have been here. Well, I might not be in here either. Because one man gave up. And here's the thing. Why should we give up on something that we can't fail in? We can't fail. Because God's not going to fail us. So quit trying to think you're a failure and be a success. Let's go to enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And Father God, help us to understand these things when we're going through a tough time. Help us to understand, that you're always with us. You're always leading us. You're always guiding us. You're always helping us in every situation. And it seems that we're going through a time that we thought we'd never see. But Father God, we thank you that you're always there. You're always helping us and you're getting us through it. We thank you that you never fail us. And Father, we thank you. We just thank you that next time that they go through a situation, that they'll remember this message. They'll remember these scriptures. They'll remember that you're with them, that you'll never leave them, you'll never forsake them. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, man, I've never been saved. I've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior in my life. If that's you tonight, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, one time I walked with the Lord, but I turned my back and went away. I want to rededicate my life to God. So if you're here tonight and you've never been saved or you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you're on your road to heaven. You know, my grandfather called it a know-so experience. I know that I'm saved. Because some people say, well, I've been in church a long time, but I don't know if I've ever been saved or not. But tonight you can know. So if that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you that if anyone is here, that's not a child of God. We thank you, Father, for sin that labors across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will come into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for healing, you're sick in your body, come down here. We want to pray for healing. We've had so many awesome testimonies that have happened right here in this place. So if you're sick and you need prayer, come down here. All right. Hallelujah. First of all, reach your hands out toward Bonnie. She's having knee surgery tomorrow, and we want to pray for the everything's gonna work fine, you know, with the doctor and with God and speedy recovery. Amen. Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you for just touching her life, Father. We thank you, Father, that as she goes in, Father, we come against any kind of fear whatsoever. And we thank you, Father, that you'll guide the surgeon's hands. We thank you, Father, for a speedy recovery. Thank you, Father, for no complications. We thank you that everything will work like it needs to work. And we just give you the praise, the honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. All right. All right. What's her name?
Kennedy.
All right, let's hold hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Kennedy. Thank you, Father, for as she goes in for surgery tomorrow, Father. We thank you for comforting her, Father. First of all, we thank you. We come against any kind of fear whatsoever. And we thank you, Father, for us a guide in the surgeon's hand. We thank you for a quick healing. Just everything will work perfectly. Everything, it'll just be awesome. And we just thank you for her life. And we thank you, Father, for her future. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Then stretch your hand. We have a prayer cloth here. Someone found out that they hadn't have cancer. Amen. But cancer has to go. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for the healing anointing flowing in this cloth, Father. And we thank you, Father, as this cloth is laid upon on this sick person, Father, we come against cancer. Cancer, you must leave. You must dry up. We thank you, Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that power of God shall be operating in their body. And we thank you, Father, in advance for testimony we shall hear and that we shall see. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, every time that I read about cancer, I always think about my mom's story where she says that, you know, cancer cannot live in her body. Now, you know what she, you know, as far as we know, that nobody, you know, and no relative in her, you know, family, because cancer is usually passed down, you know, has had cancer of any sort. You know, and she said, but here's the thing. The Lord told her one time, people always wait till they get something before they come against it. You know, cancer is one of the biggest things that comes, you know, that everyone's touched by. You know, and I've got better. I'm not to the daily basis like my mom is, but I'm, you know, I'm almost getting to the weekly now. Yeah. You know, and my mom has it down, but I need to be driving down the road, and I've actually thought about, you know, cancer cannot live in my body. But every time I hear about anybody else getting cancer, man, I always confess that over and over again. Cannot live in my body. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Kurt and Connie, this is his last service, right? You know, you need to be sure. And they're moving to Illinois. We're going to miss them. They've been here. I mean, almost every Sunday. It seems like they never miss it. If they do, they apologize. They say, oh, we're sorry. We had this or we had that. And so, you know, you'll be praying with them. Be sure and go by and you know, say bye to them or whatever. And, you know, it's just, a, you know, but, you know, they might be leaving physically, but they're still with us. Amen. And so I'm sure every time they're back in the area, they'll, you know, they'll be here. And so it's just, you know, it's hard when people leave, you know, especially people you're close to, people are part of, you know, it's a church family. Amen. Amen. Well, don't forget our what's date again on our next, our June 24th. June 24th, you know, you can start getting your stomach ready already, you know, and it's the easiest time to bring somebody to church is whenever you can feed them. You know, especially when the church is feeding them, so you're not even paying anyway. So not only can they come eat physically, they can eat spiritually as well. And, you know, that's just a good fellowship time. Amen. Well, you know, the way we dismiss around here, I'll be back at the door. Shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's a door over that way. You can go out there. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Oh, well, sorry. First time guests. I know we have a few first time guests. We're glad to have you. I'm sorry. You know, we have a gift we want to give you. All right, but so before we leave, we have some our workers there. They have a gift for you. We want to make sure you know what's going on, and we have service here every Sunday night, 6 p.m. God bless you guys. Take care.